Amen. Amen. I pray you've been blessed this morning. Let it rain down. Let it rain down. Just want to pray for a moment with you all, okay? And again, what I want you to do is I do want you to, as Jess had spoken a few moments ago, she came forward, that spontaneous thing that happened, that was spontaneous. We believe that when we get together, God does spontaneous things. Amen. It makes church a lot more fun when we allow spontaneous things to happen. And, you know, she had spoken about us believing the word. And I just sense God just wants for some of us here, we need our faith built. And what I want you to do right now, again, I'm going to ask you to, again, close your eyes because it helps you focus. Not because I'm going to do a magic trick, okay? But it helps you focus, And all of us in our area, in our lives, there's an area where it's like, God, I've given up hope. I've given up hope to restore that relationship. I've given up hope for health. I've given up hope for a bright financial future. God wants to renew that hope. He wants to renew that in you. I mean, that whole song talking about God pour over me, really for some of us saying, God, let me know you're real. Pour on me so I know you're real. Because there's some of us here, but we question that today. And that just makes you normal. So right now, just in your mind, just name that thing that you're saying, man, I've given up hope over that. And Father God, right now, just tell them, say, God, I'm giving this to you again. I'm giving it to you again. I'm giving it to you. And Father God, we're asking right now, Lord Jesus, renew our faith. Renew hope. Renew hope. Ask God for hope. Say, Father God, renew my hope. Renew it inside me. I need it. God, I renew my hope. Father God, you're a restorer. And you're not a God who hides. You're a God who wants to make yourself known. Holy Spirit, speak hope and life even now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. 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 We trust the Lord. Amen. He is good. Again, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name's Gary. I am the pastor here at the Brighton Heights campus. And I've been missing a lot recently. It's great to be back here and in front of you. And I want to be able to, Scott, I have something I want to submit to you. Okay? It is Scott, right? Okay, making sure. Okay. All right. Okay. Again, Scott, I just feel like you're a guy who you have influence on people. And you've had a lot of influence, and God wants you to use that influence for the kingdom of God. God wants to use you in bigger ways to speak about him and who he is and the hope in him. And you've talked yourself out of it in the past. But you are a man of influence. You're a man of character. And people do look to you. And God's just saying, look, you trust me. Trust me. Take that step because you're going to have way more influence. You're going to have a lot more joy in your life and excitement as you take that step. In other words, the influence you have in the world, he's going to turn that into kingdom influence for the purposes of God. All right, so I just want to encourage you with that. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. So that's submitted. All right. Hey, turn in your Bible or in your Bible app to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Now, again, if you're using your phone, I said Bible app, not Instagram. I didn't say Facebook. Okay. All right. I didn't say any of those things. Okay. Your Bible app. Turn to Isaiah 41. You know, we're finishing up our Transform series. And, you know, one thing we certainly can appreciate in Pittsburgh is the four seasons that we have. And one thing I like about our city is we get all four seasons. We have a definite spring. We have a definite summer, a definite fall, and a definite winter. Say amen. Okay, some of you are not saying amen. You don't like that? I like that. I like it. Okay. Yeah, sometimes we get them all in one day. Yeah. But here's the thing I want you to catch about seasons is that they always happen. Every year, the seasons come and go. Right? They never change. The thing we have to remember, too, though, is about the seasons is they bring growth. There's always growth that's going to happen. And I appreciate that. You know, and actually, you know, the scripture is very clear that the seasons are never going to end. In Genesis 8, it says, it's written, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Okay, it's a promise. Now, that has nothing to do with my message, but if you're concerned about global warming, I just wanted to let you know that the Bible makes it clear Okay, there's going to be day and night and all the seasons till he comes back again. All right? So I said, we know that because the Bible says. So the point is there's seasons. And, you know, we also have seasons in our lives. We have seasons. We're constantly going through seasons. Some of you right now, you're in a winter season, right? And man, it's just tough. It's kind of dark, right? It doesn't seem like there's much spiritual sun shining, right? But some of us, you're in springtime. Man, it is alive. Things are going. Things are flowing, right? And so the thing is, we're all in these different phases. But here's the thing. See, the seasons yield something all the time. They're yielding life all the time. And we should be yielding life in every season. In every season, God wants to bring life out of us. He wants to speak life into you. Again, he's with you in every season, right? I mean, Paul said those crazy words in Romans about, you know, hey, I exalt even when I have trouble because I see good. He said, I grow inside of trouble. Right? He says, when I go through trouble, when I go through trials, what happens? Well, it builds my endurance. It builds my perseverance. It builds my character. And when that happens, man, I have greater hope in God than I've ever had before. Do you realize that the vast majority of us, you've grown more through your trouble than you have your good times, right? So really we could say that the trouble is good for you. Look at somebody, say trouble's good for you. Trouble's good for you. We can all go home now. You have a lesson, all right? We're not going to, but you could, all right? But the point, you have to see that. Every season, God's saying, I want you to grow. There's growth happening. There's things happening. God's working something out in us if we allow it, if we allow it. Now, again, so in other words, you're always being transformed. Transformation's constantly happening. Now, it's not always for the good, right? But there's always transformation happening in our lives. And I want to be able to accept that. God's design is for you to be progressively transforming more into his image, right? That's his design. Now, some of us, though, we fight with that. We fight with that a bit. Because like, well, God, why? Why do I have to be transformed? You know, God, really, I'm better than I've ever been in my life, right? Aren't I good enough, right? Okay, we go through that battle, and we don't typically just speak it, but it's in our subconscious. Okay, God, I'm pretty good. I'm doing all right. I don't think I need to go to that next step. Right? It's like I remember a brother telling me a long time ago. He said, I got off of drugs, Pastor. I got off of drugs. You mean I have to give up sex too? I said, if you're not married, yeah. Right? Because so the point being, see, there's a progression of growth that should be happening in our lives. And God's not out to get you. He's not out to give you rules and to shoehorn you into a mold and take away your joy. Right? Again, before I was a Christian, in the religious tradition I was raised in, that's what I kind of thought. I felt, well, God's just, again, I know I need God, but really he's trying to shoehorn me in, take away my personality and my fun. All right, and that was, now I knew I needed that, but I wasn't ready for that, right? But that was the wrong perception of who God is. He doesn't want to transform you into a mindless robot. No. He wants to give you the life that he truly, truly has designed for you from the very beginning. And the life he's designed for you from the beginning is bigger and better and more exciting than anything you've thought of on your own. That's reality. And he's going to do that through every season that you go through. You know, most people in the world see organized religion. Most people in the world see Christianity in the light of God taking things from us. Right? God's taking things from us. They think that the church is narrow thinking. Right? When the world talks about they're talking about you. Okay? They're saying, well, I don't want that. I don't want what the Christian church offers. You know, they're trying to mold me and transform me into something I don't want to be. They're trying to tell me what to think. The church divides people. Right? Again, that's what the thoughts are out there. See, they do believe in transformation. They just think it's a negative thing. They think it's a negative thing. They don't think it's good. So again, see, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that, because if we're going to be effective in reaching the world, we got to understand how they think. Okay, they got to comprehend us. Well, as my wife and I were away, you know, just in the daily witnessing of our lives, daily witnessing of faith, we were in two different places in the last couple of days. And I got to talk to a guy in his early 30s and a woman in her mid-20s. And they both said they were raised Christian, but now they're just spiritual. Right? And again, really, they've turned on the church because they're not seeing. They're seeing the church wants to transform people into the wrong thing. Right? Now, again, it's a wrong perception. It's a wrong perception. But said so they're turning away from the church. They say, oh, I still believe in Jesus. But they're turning away from the church itself. Okay, so again, today the world believes you want to transform them, and they should. I want to transform the world. I do, right? But they're not seeing it the way you do. But why do you want transformed? As we come before God, you know, God, we've been talking about it for 6 weeks. We've been talking about transformation. You know, if we could just figure it out, we could go on to another series, right? Okay, but this is the last week. Okay, it is the last week, but. But catch this. See, God is trying to transform us, but we have to submit to that. But what's the problem? Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Listen, the biggest problem that we have as believers when it comes to following God on a daily basis is we forget that He is good. He is a good God. If we really believed He was good, it'd be much easier to submit on a daily basis. If I really believe, but we question that. Isaiah 41:10. Just want to look at this out of the Amplified, and then we're going to look at Psalms. It says, "Do not fear anything. I'm with you. Don't be afraid, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." See, we serve a good God. But we forget that. And again, we see the psalm here. Taste and see. God is good. Taste and see. See, most of the world, and I know before I became a Christian, I was introduced to this Jesus guy, right? When I was introduced to him, you know, I didn't want to taste. I wanted just, you know how your kids taste with their eyes? They look at the vegetable and say, "I don't want that." All right? They give you that face, ooh, you know. But they didn't taste it. See, tasting is a little more involved. If people really taste and see, they're going to find out God is good. So good, right? See, but He's good. But okay, but let's be honest, though. People can look at that and say, well, that's what the Bible says. Of course, the Bible says God is good. Well, what about what Jesus says? See, because, again, I'm always looking, what does Jesus say? There are rules in the Bible. There's rules, there's commands, there's directives, there's ordinances, there's these things that God says we are to do. Jesus says this about following rules. He says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." Now listen further. "I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So, if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." See, listen, Jesus, what's Jesus say about obedience? He says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, do what I say, is what's being said here. Okay, do what I say. And Jesus says this. See, my faith revolves around Jesus Christ. That's where my faith is. That's where my rock is. It's in Jesus Christ. The guy, again, who proved His care for us. How did He prove it? 2,000 years ago, right? Not only did He die, He predicted His death. Not only did He predict His death, He predicted His resurrection. And He followed through, and He was seen alive. That's the guy I trust. It's Jesus Christ. You know, we were singing that song today. I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe that, yes, I believe He conquered death. I believe He rose from the dead, and I believe He's coming back again. That is where my faith is. And too often, listen, too often we crowd out the reality of Jesus Christ. We miss that. It's like we miss the trees because of the forest. We miss the reality, the simplicity of who Jesus Christ is in our lives. God is good. He proved it 2,000 years ago. He proved it. Jesus is real. Jesus is real, and he is good. I believe because of who Jesus Christ is. Man, so that's where I hold fast in my faith. God is good. How do I know? Look at 2,000 years ago. Look at what Jesus Christ did. He rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. That's where my faith is. And if we take it a step further about God being good and following laws, you know, his disciples, his closest disciples, John, in 1 John, I mean, he speaks about how if you love him, if you know him, you follow his commandments. John also said, his commandments are not a burden. So if you find following the commandments of God hard, you're doing something wrong, right? You don't know him. You're forgetting who he is. You're forgetting that he is good. Paul's the one that people look at and say, well, Paul was about saying we don't have to follow the law. We don't follow the laws. Paul was very clear about the law. He said the law is holy and the commandments are holy, just, and good. That's in Romans chapter 7. He says keeping the commandments of God is what matters in 1 Corinthians 7. The law is good. The rules are good. The commands of God are good. They're good. How do we know? Because Jesus said they were. All right, I do it because Jesus said. Jesus said, so I do it. So God wants to transform you. He wants to change the way you live. He wants to change the way you think. And for many of us, he wants to change our behavior, right? He's transforming us completely, totally. He's changing us, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. He wants to give you a joy-filled, purpose-driven, wisdom-sharing, confident, growing in the image of Jesus' life. That's what he wants. But you've got to believe that Jesus is good. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is good, you're going to keep defaulting. Your default mode is to look out for number one. Your default mode is to fall back, and I'm going to do what's best for me. And what that typically means is I'm going to follow Jesus 80% of the time and my way 20. Right? Again, but I'm living a good life. My life's better than it's ever been. But there's more. There's more. There's more. Do you believe there's more for you? God, absolutely. There is more. There's a greater impact I can have. There's more excitement for me. There's more joy. There's more power. There's more influence. There's more of it. Okay, that means I'm not 100% there yet. How about you? Listen, Jesus did not die 100% death for you to be 60% free. Okay, he did not die 100% death for you to be 60% free. And most of us are living at 60%. Why? Because we forget that he is good. We forget the reality of who Jesus Christ is. That song, we could sing that song all day, that one, I believe in Jesus. He's the one. Our faith revolves completely around him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this. He's speaking about his progression in faith in God. He says, and we all, with an unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Okay, so again, he's saying degree by degree by degree, you should be becoming more like Jesus. More like there should be more of Jesus today than there was 60 days ago. Degree by degree by degree, as we are in his presence, he changes us. He transforms us. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, can anybody else see a change? Right? Because listen, a one degree change, you know, we don't necessarily see. Right? But if you change 10 degrees, people should see. There should be, so can people see? Is there more of Jesus and less of you? Is there more of Jesus and less of you? Don't ask the person next to you right now. Ask them later, okay? Ask them later. I dare you to ask them, actually, okay? So we want to embrace God's transformation process. God is out to change you. He's out to change you. But you better believe that he is good. And remember, it's proven. God is good. He's proved it through Jesus Christ. He's proved it through Jesus. Let's just pray here right now. Father God, we come before you. God, we thank you that you've proven who you are. You've proven your identity enough for us. Don't let us forget how simple it is, how simple and powerful devotion to Jesus Christ is. Father God, that we could embrace the transformation that you have for us. We embrace the commands that you have. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen. Now, the transformation process we've been talking about to make you more like Jesus, it starts, of course, with renewing the mind. Renew the mind. And we talked about revealing God's truth. Just a quick review. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. And this is the first couple verses. We've looked at this the past few weeks. Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Now, we've torn this verse apart in the last few weeks. But again, just want to keep reminding you, want to keep reminding us of how this transformation happens. You got to renew this mind, right? Again, the biggest enemy you have is the one that looks at you every morning in the mirror, right? That's the problem. We need to renew our minds, right? That we can know the will of God, that we can walk in the will of God. There is a mind renewal that goes on. Second is again, God reveals himself. So he reveals himself in his word. We need to know the word of God. If we could look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, these verses from this chapter that David wrote just always speak to my heart about the word. He says, David says, I love your law, with an exclamation point. I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. Your insights make me wiser than all my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. The word of God works within us to build us, to transform us as we read the word. That is why from the day that you became a Christian, people have been telling you to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? It makes you smarter, okay? It makes you wiser, And David said, I love it. I love the word of God. Oh, how I love your law. How I love to read the book this way, right? How about you? Do you love to read the word? Do you love it? I mean, a few of you do. I mean, be honest. You know, some of us, we do it because it's a discipline. I don't necessarily love to read, right? But you find life in the passage. And as we discipline ourselves, you're going to find more life in it as we keep Jesus as the center. So we've spoken about this point. The third thing that we need if we're going to grow, though, is be transformed, is relationships. We need relationships that transform us. Now, as you look at this, I want you to look at these three things, though, for your growth as a woman of God, as a man of God. This is like a three-legged stool. There's one. Each of those is a leg. And a three-legged stool, if we take one of those legs out, what happens? Yes, you fall. And many of us have tried a balancing act, okay? We've tried a balancing act. Many of us, okay, I'll renew my mind, and I'll read the word, but I don't want people to get that close to me. And you wonder why you can't really have great transformation in your life, right? You can't. It's a three-legged stool. If you take away one of those legs, it does not work. We've said it here in the past, you know, to be healthy, you need prayer, you need the word, and you need other people. Prayer, word, people. It's the same thing. Same thing. You know, if you're renewing your mind, and, you know, if you're in prayer, just to say, renewing your mind, I'm in prayer, I'm letting God wash me. And I have people in my life, but I don't have the Bible, anything goes. I'm making my own rules. You won't be transformed. Life won't change. Okay, if you have relationships and the word, but don't have that life in God being renewed, man, then you're legalistic, right? There's no life there. It doesn't stand. It's a three-legged stool. Okay, so said, so we need all of these, all three of these things if you're truly going to be transformed, consistent transformation in your life. And that's what God wants for you. Obviously, that's what we want. That's what we desire as a church family for everyone here. Everyone here needs that. So what we need, though, is good friends, right? We need friends to be able to make this happen. Now, many of us can say, but I got good friends. I'm good. Well, that praise God, because not everybody has friends. All right, and the extroverts among us who have lots of friends, you have lots of people, lots of acquaintances. Okay, good for you. But there's introverts here that find that's not so easy, right? There's some of us, they said, it just hasn't been easy to have that in our lives. But even if you're in that place, great, be thankful. But let's add definition to what a friend is. We need definition. I had a lot of friends in college, and none of them influenced me for good. Okay, that's why I was one and done in college, okay? All right, so we have to define, and they were all good friends. They're all good friends, right? But they didn't help me go forward. They didn't push me in the right direction here, okay? Man, so what type of relationship it is matters. See, the relationships that are going to transform you are relationships that you allow to bring challenge into your own life. One of the things that we say here in the Bridge City family is you need people in your life that'll give you the last 10%. There's 10% that you need to hear and people won't tell you because they don't want to offend you. They don't want to make you feel bad and they don't want to be rejected, right? You should have at least one person in your life other than your spouse, okay? Sometimes you're too close, right? Okay. But no, in all seriousness, someone other than your spouse that can tell you the last 10% that you really need to hear. If you don't have that, you don't have transformational relationships. See, a transformational relationship is not just about comfort. See, I believe, listen, my friend, I do want comfort with my friends. Okay, I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to be open if I'm not comfortable. But it can't end at comfort. It needs to have challenge in it. If it's going to be transformational. At times, we only want to run with people that think like us and act like us. How many of us are good if we have people that think like us and act like us, right? I need people that will challenge my thinking. Honestly, that's one of the things my brother, Pastor Rick, is, I believe, very good at. Again, just in like in our, as a staff and things, there's this challenge always going forward. And he aggravates us because of that, right? But growth needs, it's good challenging relationships need to aggravate you. But when was the last time you got aggravated by somebody saying something to you, right, that you really needed to hear, right? And you didn't take offense, okay? Man, so again, obviously relationships need to have grace, need to be filled with love, but you have to have the truth. You've got to have someone that can tell you the truth that you really need to hear. Again, relationships that transform don't stop at comfort, okay? And we're talking about you becoming the woman of God God called you to be. We're talking about you becoming the man of God you were called to be. You need these types of relationships. Well, how do I get one? How do I get this type of relationship? How do I get one? This next slide, please. Okay, how are you gonna get it? You have to ask for it. You have to ask. You have to invite somebody in past all your walls, let them in. And you need to invite them in, not just to laugh with, not just to have lunch with, but invite them in to tell you what you need to hear. You need to have someone that will do that for you. See, most never get this, right? Now, most people never get to this place. They are never secure enough and don't recognize the need to let all the walls down and let people get in that close and give them access. We don't do it. And in American culture, we definitely don't do it. I've been in a couple cultures, they're very upfront. I'm not going to say it's the most loving thing, but it's very upfront. In our culture, we respect people's space. And listen, yeah, typically, again, so I said, Yeah, I want to respond to that. Never mind. Say, give me focus. Focus, Gary. Focus. Listen, the problem, it's not going to happen if we don't invite people in. Because in our culture, people hold back. Because again, we respect people's space. I don't want to offend Dave. I don't want to offend him, so I'm not going to tell him that. I know he needs to see it, and everybody else in the room sees that but nobody wants to offend him. Or it's somebody, you know, they're going to get angry, or they're going to storm off, or they're going to reject you. See, so you have to open the door. You have to invite them into that place if you are going to have transformational relationships. Okay. Again, can you do that? Can you let people in that close? Can you let somebody in? Because you're inviting them in. Okay. And again, you're saying, I'm not going to get defensive. I'm going to ask Pastor Ben into my life. I'm not going to get defensive when he says this. I'm not going to get angry. Okay. I'm not going to turn it around and talk about his stuff. Right. That's what we do at times. Who are you to tell me that? I know your life. I'm better than you. Right. And so what happens? So we just eliminate it. There's no one that has this type of access into our lives. See, the point is, listen, if you're gonna have transformation in your life, you've got to let somebody in that tight. You have to let someone in. Or these last 6 weeks are for nothing. Because you don't have three legs on your stool. You have to make a choice. You know, you need me. Right? Or you need that person next to you. Okay? And you need to tell them, you know. You're like, I can look and say, tell Sam, you want transformation? Okay? If you want transformation, listen, you need me. With me, without me. With me, without me. You want transformation, Patrick? With me, without me. Which one do you want? See, because you are limited in your growth if you do not allow somebody in. But you have to give them access. You have to give them access. You have to choose to do that. And that's a challenge today. That's one of the challenges. You are going to identify that person. Listen, this is what, February the 11th? Within a couple weeks, you should have someone you can talk to and say, I'm giving you access to my life. I'm giving you access. I need somebody to speak to me. I need to let somebody in. I trust you. I trust them. I trust this person to look into my life. Okay, so again, so that's what God's trying to do here. That's what God needs for you. Or I said, these last 6 weeks aren't gonna amount to anything. Okay. So what do they look like? What's it look like if we go through this? How do transformational relationships work? Well, first thing you want to do for this to work is, look, when you have a transformational relationship, usually it's two ways. You know, because again, for me to let somebody in that close, I know them. I'm not gonna somebody that close who I don't know well. It's a two-way street. But the first thing we're gonna do in these relationships is we're gonna call out the best in each other. You're gonna call out the best. Next slide, please. Call out the best in each other. Okay, you have to call out the best. In other words, encourage one another. Okay, you know, the world is desperate for encouragement. Is there anyone in the room that doesn't need more encouragement? That doesn't need somebody looking you in the eye and saying, you know what, I'm proud of you. Looking you in the eye and saying, no, I'm excited about the growth in your life. Right? Who doesn't need more of that? Again, speak life to one another. Fill up someone else's life. Fill up their heart with hope. You know, again, one of the great ways to touch people in the world, you want to touch people in the world and open up a door to share your faith, encourage them. Yes. Speak life into them. Speak life. You speak life to people, they open up like a flower in the springtime. Okay? Again, so speak life. Speak life. You know, because here's the thing, you know, we say this here in the church family. You know, you can be as negative as you want with somebody as long as you are twice as positive as you are negative. That's right. And many of us, one of the reasons you can't get through to people is because the only thing you speak to people is negative. All you do is speak correction. Twice as positive as negative. Say twice as positive as negative. How many know someone in the room that needs to hear that? Don't point at them. Right? But listen, we need to hear that. I got to be twice as positive. Twice as positive. That's what it means to call out the best in another person. Be positive. Speak life. Speak life. All right, so you're going to be positive. You're going to listen, before you leave here today, all right, before you leave the room, before you leave the room, you're going to speak life to somebody. You're going to encourage someone in the room. Okay, can you do that? Okay, who's going to tell me no at this moment, right? But you love it when pastors do that. I'm telling you something. How can you say no? I want you to do that. Encourage. Practice it. Speak life. Speak life. Just speak hope. You say, well, geez, I don't know what to say. Well, you know, tell the team up here. They sounded good, right? That's the truth. Okay? Right? Be positive. Be positive. Speak life. Speak life. Okay, second thing. Okay, call out the best in each other. Second, I want you to call out to God for each other. Pray. Pray for one another. Pray for one another. Pray. Now, I want you to pray together. You know, I do want you to pray. I do feel we don't pray enough. If there's a need, let's just pray right now. We should just pray. We should do it. Okay, but some are saying, man, I don't pray out loud. That's why you need somebody. That's why you need somebody. You need to be honest and say, man, I am intimidated to pray out loud. Well, let's do it together, right? But pray. See, the thing is, because Christians are great for saying they pray and then forget. No one in here has ever done that. I guess, right, no. We say it, we forget. Really pray. Lift up one another in the spirit. Lift up, I'm not saying you have to pray for a half hour. God, pray for 60 seconds. Right? I mean, just pray. You know there's an issue. I'm praying for you. You know somebody here is going through a sickness in their family. Let them know, look, I'm just praying for you. I'm just praying. I don't have any good words for you, but I can pray. Yeah. People appreciate the prayer. There's a fight in the spirit. Okay, so you're going to call out the best of one another. You're going to call out to God for one another. And the third one is we're going to call out the truth to each other. Now, again, notice that we're not calling out the truth to the person until we do the first two, right? Until I'm calling out the best and I'm calling out to God for you. Now I can speak. Now I've won the right to speak hope to you. I can speak the last 10% to you because you know that I care. You know I care for you. So this is God's plan. This is God's plan. God does want you to be transformed. But again, a couple things. Listen. You've got to know God is good. You've got to keep feeding yourself the reality that God is good, or you keep short-circuiting the process, right? Again, we don't want to follow the things God says in his word because we really are. When you don't want to follow something, when you don't want to follow simple things like forgive the person who's offended you, okay? Really, the bottom line is you don't think God's that good. But listen, when you can't trust God to give financially, when you can't trust God to give financially, you're really saying, God, I don't believe you're that good. I believe if I give you too much money, I won't be taken care of. That's what you're saying. That's what's speaking. Whenever you don't obey the word, you're saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't think you're that good. See, that's why we need to know this. Jesus Christ proved it to us. Amen? He proved it. He proved it. It's all good, man. It's all good because Jesus is in control. Jesus is the one. He is the way. He's the one that we want to focus upon. Now, that last slide, please. Okay, so transformation is a process. Becoming more like Jesus through renewing our minds, revealing God's truth in his word, relationships that transform us. What is your strategy? If you don't have a strategy, it's not going to happen. If you don't have a strategy to read the Word of God, if you can't speak to me your strategy, you don't have one. And if you don't have one, you can't stick to your strategy. Okay? There has to be a plan. There has to be a plan. If you're saying, I need to renew my mind, man, what's the strategy? What's the strategy? And if you can't tell me what it is, you don't have one. Do you want to grow? Do you want to live that life that God has for you? Right, of walking in power and purpose, right, and fulfillment, pleasure, joy. Listen, if you're going to have that, you've got to have a strategy, okay? And if you're going to have a relationship that transforms you, What's your strategy? I do challenge you on this. This is February the 11th. By, let's see, 3 weeks from now. Let me say St. Patrick's Day. That's the middle of March, okay? By St. Patrick's Day, you should have invited somebody into your life that you're telling them, you have access to me. I need to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Speak to me. By what date? St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day, okay? That's March 17th. Okay, you have somebody. It can't be your spouse. How many accept that challenge? You accept that challenge? Okay, you again. See, because otherwise, you have a two-legged stool, and you're not going to be transformed. It won't stand. It won't stand. I want to see you be the man and woman of God he's called you to be. Let's get ourselves in position. This is how it happens. Amen? There is a strategy for this. Let's pray right now. Father, we come before you. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. Just think about Jesus for a moment. Just focus on Jesus. Focus on him. Remember what he did. How did he prove he is good to us? While you were still a sinner, while you were in your worst, lowest place, he still loved you, and he still says, come to me and I will forgive you. That's the reality of Jesus Christ. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father God, we long to be people who are transformed by your word. Transformed. God, I want to reflect you. I want to bring honor to your name. And God, I want the life that you've promised. You've promised a strong life, a confident life, a bold life, a joyful life. I long for it in every season of my life. Open up my heart. And God, burn these thoughts into us, God. Again, Lord, Father God, the transformation will not happen. Will not happen, God, if I'm not renewing my mind, if I'm not in the Word of God, and I am not inviting someone into my heart. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And Father God, again, if there's anyone here who has yet to make that decision to follow you, has not yet made that decision to say, Jesus, you're it. They may have been following God. I knew about God, but they've never said, no, Jesus, I recognize your salvation. You're the one. We don't want you to leave here today without investigating what that means. What does it mean to make Jesus Christ the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future? What does it mean? Don't let anyone leave here. We have a team up front at the end to pray. Come up and ask those questions. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father God, for your patience in transforming us. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen. Amen.
Amen.